Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
I usually try and make a fancy introduction with sound bites and jingles. Not this time. My guest, Professor Richard Scullier AO, a melanoma cancer doctor and researcher, is one of the most extraordinary people I've ever had as a guest on the show. In fact, I think one of the most extraordinary people I've ever met. He has a brain tumour himself, a sort which up to now has been incurable, and he's been treated with cutting-edge technology and hoping that what is learnt will make a difference for all patients who have this type of tumour in the future. You have just got to listen to this.
Right, so my guest today is Professor Richard Scullier, and he's a world melanoma expert as a medic and also a researcher. And we were chatting just before I started recording, and I said, look, you do so many different things and have so many different kind of titles. I'm going to just sneak out and get you to kind of introduce yourself a little bit.
Oh, it might sound like I'd be bragging to you. So I'm Professor Richard Scullier AO. I'm the co-medical director of Melanoma Institute Australia. I'm also a professor at the University of Sydney and senior staff specialist at the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital in Sydney.
Okay. So you're saying you're not bored. So thank you very much for finding a few minutes to chat to me just now, because I suspect you're, apart from kind of the medical journey you've been on, apart from all that, extremely busy.
Well, I'm still working. I'm always very busy. I guess I'm doing three full-time jobs, but very proud of what we're achieving. In fact, I've just ducked out from chairing our multidisciplinary team meeting, or some in America they call them tumor board meeting, where we discuss the most challenging melanoma patient problems. And as a group of about 70 people, we experts from experts with all different disciplinary skills, we talk about how they're best managed. So there's a whole bunch of surgeons, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, dermatologists, pathologists, nursing staff, research staff, a whole lot of other people down there sorting out how patients should be managed. So yeah, but very important part of our week.
A very important meeting. So thank you very much again for taking a few minutes out of it to chat. So essentially, I hinted at it at the start. You've been on one hell of a kind of medical journey, because last July you were at a conference, a medical conference.
It's actually in May it was, Mike.
Was it May? Okay, yeah. All right. So tell us what happened in May.
Well, I was in Poland lecturing for a good mate of mine, actually. He's from Boston. He used to work at Harvard, and he always wants me to lecture his courses. But he comes from Poland, and for his last hurrah, he said, look, I want to put something on back there in Krakow. So went over there and lectured, and when we finished that, him and his wife took my wife and I up into the mountains in Poland near the border with Slovakia, and we climbed a mountain. Then the next day I had a seizure and various scans, and got transported back in an ambulance back to Krakow, and where an MRI scan showed I had a tumor basically in my temporal lobe, which is part of the brain, which needed to be investigated and ultimately treated. So yeah, that's how it all presented. But basically what happens when you go up into high altitude, you get some brain swelling, and that meant that I had the seizure, which meant this was picked up perhaps a little earlier than what would have happened under normal circumstances. And in some respects, for me, having it all happened in Poland was actually advantageous for me, because there's a slight delay in getting back to Sydney to start the management plan. And you know, I know a bit about brain tumours, but I'm certainly no expert. But basically, the treatment hasn't changed in 20 years, and it's incurable. So to think about what else we could do, and my colleague, Professor Georgina Long, who's the co-medical director with me at the Melanoma Institute Australia, which is the world's largest melanoma treatment and research centre, We've done a lot of work in melanoma and changed that field. Why can't we apply some of this in brain cancer? Was the idea that she put to me, and I
So, well,
said,
that's exactly what
"We're in a
your colleague,
millisecond. Let's go for
she
it."
got on. Well, so she put together kind of a treatment strategy for you, pretty much while you were on the plane on the way home. I
Well,
was there.
not
So you
quite
had kind
like
of
that, but
got.
yeah, that's a good enough summary. But yeah, we had a few discussions actually when I was in Poland, and my wife actually sent her the scans, and anyway, we got back to Sydney. She came and picked us up from the airport actually, and we're taken straight to one of the hospitals in Sydney where we discussed various things, and we're in minutes. I decided, yeah, this is we discovered so much in melanoma in like 12 years ago. If you had what we call stage four melanoma that spread around your body, every patient died from it. Yeah, most people were dead within a year. The 5-year survival was less than 5%, and I guess that's a bit like what's with this subtype of brain cancer that I've got. It's
Right.
terrible. It's the worst of the worst. And I've actually got a whole heap of prognostic factors that even make it worse than that group of patients. And in melanoma, with the work of immunotherapy and the clinical trials that Georgina's led, we've changed the field. Now, more than 55% of people are alive at 5 years, and we think most of those people have been cured. So,
Right.
we've changed things in 10 or 12 years in melanoma. Brain cancer hasn't changed in 19 years.
So
That
you
doesn't seem
decided it's
right with
about
me.
time to do something about that. So what sort of treatment strategy was sort of did you come up with?
Well, normally what happens is you have a core biopsy of your brain to prove the diagnosis when it looks like a tumor on radiology. And once the diagnosis has been proven, you have debulking surgery. The problem with this type of brain cancer is it's got like the periphery of it's like little tentacles that go everywhere throughout, particularly the one side of your brain that's involved. And it's virtually impossible to cut it all out or to give radiotherapy to mop it up. It sort of sneaks out. What you can see on radiology and what the surgeon can see when they look inside, they can't see all the tumor because it sneaks off in these tentacles. So we need a therapy which will select out tumor cells but leave your normal brain cells alone. So that's basically what immunotherapy does. It's stimulating the body's immune system to recognize the tumor cells and leave your normal brain cells alone. And in contrast to chemotherapy, which is part of the normal treatment, that can't select out your bad cells from your normal cells. So you get some side effects from it, which ain't so good. And I guess that's why people are not being cured or very
Right.
rarely being cured of their brain cancer for the subtype that I've got, which is
But
anyway.
you had sorry to interrupt, you had a combination immunotherapy. Is that right?
Well,
What is that?
I was going to say before that. So the surgeon who operated on me was a lady called Brinda Shivralingam, and she's a good friend. We've worked together for more than a decade. She's seen the incredible changes that we've led in melanoma, and when Georgina and I put this plan to her, she was, said, "Yeah, let's give it a crack," and happy to go down this route. So normally you'd have this core biopsy put in. I said, "No way! If we want to do research to compare to see the effect of these drugs on the brain tumor, which would be debulked a few weeks later, I need to have an open craniotomy, which is." We're opening up the brain, which is a riskier procedure, but it was the only way I knew that we would get enough tissue to be able to do all the research we wanted to do to see if this therapy actually made a difference. So that's what we did, and I had the initial brain biopsy, prove the diagnosis, collect a whole heap of tumor tissue for research. Then a few days later, I had combination immunotherapy, so multiple types of drugs of immunotherapy. So these are drugs that stimulate the immune system to be able to attack the tumor. And 16 days after the first surgery, had further surgery to debulk the tumor as much as possible without leaving me
A bit
with
of brain left.
functional deficits that would, so I could still enjoy whatever portion of life I've got left. And
Well,
yeah, amazingly, I
wasn't the quote from Georgina? I saw it in one of the videos that was they've left the rich and enriched or something like that. Words to that effect, wasn't it?
Something like that. I got, a 6-hour operation, the debulking, and I got out of it. My wife gave me all these questions,
Debulking,
testing my
that's
brain
taking
out.
as much of the tumor out of your brain that they could sensibly.
Well, they could take more out, but Brenda, who's the neurosurgeon, I had conversations about, what's the risk benefit, and my guts were saying, let's be more conservative, keep my brain function going, so we can I can enjoy my life, and I was optimistic that potentially the immunotherapy would have an effect. So yeah, that's what we did. And like, I know as a pathologist that this brain tumor, it spreads as tentacles. You can't cut it all out. It's not it's or give radiotherapy to mop it all up. We need to find something that's better. And so the idea of using our discoveries in melanoma that have now transformed many other cancers, why not give it a crack in brain cancer? They've been tried in late stage brain cancer, but we know in melanoma they won't work in that group of patients at the end of their course of disease after they've had chemotherapy where their immune system's been suppressed. So we need, and we know that if you give immunotherapy before you do the surgery, when there's more tumor on board, it's much more effective. We call before immunotherapy before surgery, we call that neoadjuvant
Okay.
therapy. And it was given after your surgery, adjuvant therapy. So we know from our melanoma data, it's incredible how much more effective it is to give it early on. So that's why we're pushing
Okay.
down this route,
Let
and
me
Georgina
just
was putting it to
ask.
me. But I just wanted to say one other
Go
thing
on.
that was really important, that the fact that I was in Poland, it gave Georgina a chance to chat to people around the world, and to put this on the table as something to try. If we're in Sydney straight away, it may not have we had that delay that enabled us to go down this route, which is gives us the best chance of making a difference. And the scientific data that we've created by comparing my pre-treatment brain tumor with the treatment that the brain tumor that was taken out 16 days later after I'd had the combination immunotherapy. It's unbelievable, which makes it exciting for the field. And we need to explore this in a
Right.
clinical trial, basically, to see if it really, really does make a difference to
So can you
patients.
tell
And
by looking at the tumor that they took from your brain that the immune cells have been are in the tumor and attacking it?
you've nailed it there, Mike. That what we could show, this is our bread and butter in melanoma. We've done so much research, basically using a team of people that Georgina and I supervise, the work that I've done for 25 years. So what we're able to prove is that the number of immune cells that were in my tumor went up by more than 10 times. The types of immune cells that were in my brain tumor, they've been activated to fight against it. And we're also able to prove that one of the drugs that I was given that we tested for, the only drug, but it was attached to the immune cells, showing that this drug crossed what's called the blood-brain barrier, which we know is not present in tumors when it's, when you've got a tumor in your brain, and we've proven it in melanoma. But when we, or particularly me, we needed to convince the neuro-oncology team that this is the route we should be going down. One thing that was fed back was, people worry, but one thing is fed back, these drugs can't cross the blood-brain barrier. That's not true. But other things were, look, this treatment might kill you very soon. You might be left with side effects related to it, which will make the rest of whatever life you've got very miserable and not effective. So yeah, there's risks, and people were
Yeah.
scared about that.
So
But well, we know from our
I was
melanoma
going to
work
ask you
that
about the kind of risks, because if you're tinkering with your immune system, potentially putting your immune system kind of into overdrive, is that the main risk? You know, because
Yeah,
if your
that's it.
immune
Look,
system starts attacking its your own body, you're in trouble.
well, that's yeah, there's side effects of immunotherapy. The main problem in your brain is it's quite within a box, the skull, your brain's within it. So if it swells up, that can cause potential problems. Well, I had a seizure in Poland. That's why my tumor presented. But when you stimulate the immune system, if you've got more cells going into your brain to fight the tumor, that could cause some swelling of your brain. And because it's a closed box, the only exit from it is where your spinal cord exits down south. So, deep into your vertebral column. And if the brain swells and it pushes down, immediately above the spinal canal is a really important part of your brain called the brain stem. If that gets shoved into your spinal canal, it'll get squashed, and it might, many people die from what's in the medical world, it's called coning.
Okay.
It's all over Red Rover is what we like to say in Australia for something like this. That yeah, so there's risks involved, but we've got a lot of experience in melanoma. The risks is it was small, and I'm happy to take that risk on.
Oh, okay. Now,
But people worried about it, and I think the neuro-oncology field hadn't really tried these drugs, so they're very scared. And as I say, medical doctors sign up as part of the Hippocratic oath and other things, do no harm. So that, yeah, they don't want to do harm. So my wife and I wrote these long letters explaining that we knew what the risks were and potential benefits. But as a world leader in melanoma, who's worked with Georgina for donkey's years, and she's given immunotherapy to more patients than any doctor in the world, I've got a good sense of what the risks are, potential benefits. So it seemed like the right path to me, and never been tried before. And yeah, we could someone has to do this if we're going to make a difference to brain
yeah.
cancer patients. So if for me, it felt like the right thing to do.
Let me ask kind of, and this is a question with no real scientific or knowledge, or certainly no knowledge in this field. You are doing with this immunotherapy something that has worked with melanoma, and and your research for the last 2 decades has saved lots of people's lives, etc. It
Hundreds of
hasn't.
thousands, I think, all up
Yeah,
around the
yeah.
world, the research that the melanoma community, that we're the biggest melanoma treatment and research center in the world, but the clinical trials are done throughout the world to
Yeah,
change the field. And
yeah.
yeah, we're
But
very proud
this
to be
method
leaders in. Yeah.
had not been tried on your type of tumor in the brain. Did you have kind of a clue that actually there might be some similarities in these cancers such that it might work in your case?
Well, we do know in melanomas, the vast majority of cases are caused by ultraviolet radiation from the sun. People getting a tan, that's because the damage to the pigment producing cells in the skin, we call them skin cells in trauma, is why you get a tan. So one of the side effects of that is that melanoma has a very high tumor mutation burden. And if it's got more mutations on the surface of the cancer cells, they express abnormalities that we call them neoantigens. If you've got more neoantigens, and as a consequence, the immune system will be stimulated more against the tumor. The tumor puts up blockages or shields to stop your immune system getting in to fight the cancer. But for a variety of reasons, that and something else, a thing called the interferon gamma signature, which is related to the immune system. These are technicalities, but we know patients who have high tumor mutation burden, high interferon gamma signature, they're more likely to respond to immunotherapy in melanoma than those who have low.
Right.
And melanoma responds the best. It's got a high mutation burden. But there's other groups of patients who have very low tumor mutation burdens. Brain cancer is one of them. The sort of brain cancer I've got has a low. So, and we know melanoma patients with low tumor mutation burden don't tend to go so well. But even so, there's some patients in melanoma with low mutation burden, low interferon gamma signature, who do respond, and there's some with high who don't respond. So it's not as simple as just those two factors. So it seemed that odds of it working in brain cancer were low. But well, why not give it a crack to see what we can do and see if we can make a difference? And we don't know whether it's worked in me yet or not. So far, so good. The average time to recurrence for the subtype of brain cancer I've got is 6 months. I'm now 9 and a bit months since I first presented with my seizure in Poland, and so far so good. But take bit further on to see what actually has happened to my care. But ultimately, one patient doesn't mean this is the this has
No,
proven
an
this
N of one
therapy
is too
works. You have to
small.
do a quick. Exactly.
So let's carry on with the stories. Okay, so you had the immunotherapy, then you had the operation, then from looking at actually a couple of the videos about your story, a personal vaccine was designed for you. So how can you explain a little bit of how that was done and what that entailed?
Well, that follows on really well from our last discussion because, so basically, we all know about vaccines. You get measles, mumps, rubella vaccinations when you're a kid, or various infections against various vaccines, tetanus or the flu, or even COVID vaccine. The idea of them is to stimulate your body's immune system to stop you getting an infection. And similar HPV vaccine for cervical cancer is similar sort of thing, to stop HPV, which causes cervical cancer. But the idea of an anti-cancer vaccine is different. Patients have already got cancer, but you're trying to stimulate the immune system against the cancer more vigorously. And what you do is take the tumor cells themselves and look what are the what we call antigens, that what we talked about before, that are expressed on the surface of the tumor, and then try and stimulate immune cells against them and see what they are, and give you an injection. So there's different types of vaccine, but one of them is to find out what are the neoantigens on the surface of your tumor, and then make a vaccination which will stimulate and give that to you, which will stimulate the immune system to be able to recognize those antigens in a better way and potentially then fight your tumor better.
And
I hope that
presumably,
makes sense.
no, but as part of that, if you're seeing exactly what your tumor is made up of, so you're designing a vaccine that will attack it, you can try and ensure that this vaccine will attack the tumor and not you or bits of you.
We'll stimulate your immune system to just attack, recognize things that are only present on tumor cells, and attack the tumor cells themselves. So in theory, it would be the perfect treatment to have. There's different types of vaccines that are being developed. In fact, the mRNA vaccines that were that they're actually being developed to treat cancers. We're involved in some early clinical trials before the COVID pandemic hit, and then that things were switched over to try and help fight that devastating disease. But to be honest, in theory they're fantastic, but I'm not an expert on the anti-cancer vaccine programs, but I want to see a bit more data to really convince me that they're number one. Yet in theory they should work better than immunotherapy, which is more broadly stimulating the immune system. But I want to see a bit more data yet
Yeah. Okay.
that how
So,
good they
how many
are.
times have you had this vaccine? And now, do you have to have this vaccine for the rest of your life? How does it work?
No, that the one I'm on, I think I might have had 7 out of 10 planned vaccines. Initially, it was every 2 weeks, and now they're being spread out. I think it goes for 20 months or something in the end, and they're spread out more. I think I've written on Twitter exactly what it is, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I can look it
Okay.
up if you want. But
No, that's all right. Not to worry. Not to worry.
and I'm actually, but there's actually other vaccines that yeah haven't been tried in brain cancer before, and yeah, I'm hopeful that we'll try one of those in the not too distant future as well. But
So
yeah.
you've had the immunotherapy, you've had the operation, and then this vaccine, as to.
Yep. And I'm still having immunotherapy. I think I had one last Monday, or
Okay.
just this week, and that was, I think, number 13 lot of immunotherapy. So yeah, I've had quite a few of them. And to be honest, I feel very fortuitous that, well, I guess first of all, that Georgina's managing the immune. I've got a whole team of people looking after me, neuro-oncologists and radiation oncologists. Georgina is the immunotherapist, and yeah, neurologists who help me with the epilepsy as side effects that I'm having. So yeah, cycle 12 immunotherapy was on Monday.
Okay.
But so it's a fair chunk, and a lot of people get side effects and from immunotherapy, and particularly for combination immunotherapy. And I can't go into the details of exactly what I'm having at this stage, but if people have dual combination, it's about 60% of people have major adverse side effects, and I've been lucky and been very well managed by Georgina in that regard. So that's gone well.
Well,
The
you're back at work, aren't you?
well, I've been working. Oh, it's only that, like, to be honest, a couple of weeks after the major craniotomy, and I've been working ever since. Yeah, and I dedicated my life to make a difference, and proud of what we do, and I like being able to contribute and be part of this and lead this incredible team of people who are committed to get us to zero deaths from melanoma, and indeed zero deaths from all cancer. And yeah.
I want to ask another question more specifically about you. After all this treatment, what method are you using to see how it's going? Like, are you having regular scans to make sure the tumor is still shrinking? And can you see the tumor that well on the scans? How does that work?
Yes. So, well, there's the predominant ways you can pick up recurrent tumors through symptoms and scans. Usually scans will pick it up earlier than symptoms, but and I've had a lot of epilepsy, to be honest, and most no one knows 100% the cause, but in my mind it's 99.9% is likely to be related to the radiotherapy that I've had. But people are better experts than me at determining that, but that's what it seems most likely to me, a complication of that. And you don't have like full seizures where you go conscious shake and whole body shaking, but they're called partial seizures. And yeah, at one stage I was, I don't know, getting at least 10 of them every day. So I've had to dose up, or the teams had to dose up my anti-epileptics. And about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago I started on a drug that was really knocked me about. And anyway, so we're transitioning to that third drug to a different third drug. So I'm on four at the moment, and I've turned the corner. I've got my energy back, which is good. And yeah, but that's probably been the toughest part of it, to be honest.
What the main side
Sorry,
effect,
I've
this epilepsy thing,
yes,
yeah.
the partial seizures and trying to bring them under control.
Okay.
Yeah, the immunotherapy, there's a few side effects, but nothing major. So I can keep going with this treatment, which is pretty incredible. No, I guess I've been lucky in many respects. Good management, luck, and some people have said it's because I'm obsessed with exercise, but I don't think
I want
there's
to
really
ask
any
you about
data
that
to
because
support that.
before I started recording, you were saying how you do triathlons and you've been competing just a month before your initial seizure.
It was
So,
actually 2 weeks before I represented Australia at the World Multisport Championships. I love doing triathlons. I've done them since I was in my early 20s, and I stopped doing them when we had kids. I was so dedicated to my career and family. And yeah, we had three kids together. So my wife Katie, so she was doing most of the hard work, but I love my family so much. And anyway, and I got into my when youngest one's Lucy, when she was 3 or 4, maybe a little younger, I thought, oh God, I better watch myself. I'm putting on a bit of weight. I don't want to have a heart attack. There's some, family history of cardiovascular disease. So I thought I've got to get a bit fitter again. And so I started jogging, and two of the older kids were going doing swimming training down the local pool. I'd drop them off and then drive home, then have to pick them up. And I thought, oh, this is a waste of time going home. So I started jogging more and more around this local track we have, which is 7Ks. And then I saw some people doing interval work, so I latched on with them and sort of got back into triathlons. And basically, that was, I don't know, oh,
Do you think that's a
15
reason
years
why
ago.
the treatment has been sort of so successful so far, and you've had fewer side effects because you are actually in really good shape?
I don't really think so. Yeah, I don't know there's any evidence for it, but I find it helps me mentally. To exercise, so I know everyone's different. It mightn't work for many people, but for me personally, it makes me feel better when I'm out
And you've
exercising.
kept it
It,
up during your treatment.
nah, doing way less than normal.
But
I'm
you have been
obsessed
doing
with it.
some, though.
Yeah, still doing some. Up until like 6 weeks ago, I was still, jogging 16 Ks. Or twice a week, and then doing the 5K park runs, and doing 100K bike rides with my mates on Sundays, and riding on the indoor trainer a couple of times a week. So, yeah, in
Wow.
fact, I'm doing something called Tour de Cure in a couple of weeks' time, where I'm doing the first 3 days of it, where we ride, I think it's average 150 Ks and 1600 meters of climbing. In that, yeah, so that's going to be a tough journey for me. I did it last year, and it was when I was at my normal fitness, and yeah, that was fine. And but I think I'm going to find it a bit tougher this year. But anyway, they're raising money for research in cancers, and so it's sort of it's a good it fits well with what I like doing. So enjoying that. In fact, one of the Tour de France podium finishers reached out to me and seen my cancer story and said, I want to participate in this event for you. So anyway, so nice of us to be doing it. He's a guy called Richie Port, so a famous Australian cyclist. He comes from my hometown of Launceston in Tasmania. So yeah, going down together. We've since ridden together. With my best
Fantastic.
mate Jim Finlay down there as well. So yeah,
All right, well,
really important.
good luck with that. So just
Yep, thank you.
generally, this treatment you've described and how you're still active, doing exercise, still working. Are you kind of surprised at how well things have gone, considering, because the prognosis was not great, let's face it. And
Yeah.
you're doing
Well, I guess
brilliantly.
it's getting to that stage now where, yep, I am. It's starting to be surprised about it. To be honest, I don't. Maybe I'm not facing up to the realities of life. Well, my wife and I talked about things, and should I quit work and do family, just do family stuff. But our son was doing what we call the HSC, so the final year of school before you start university last year. So we had to support him, and we've still got our youngest daughters in year 11 at school, so it goes up to year 12 before you go to university in Australia. So, and it's good for my mental stimulation to run as much of it as a normal life as you can. So, but I am surprised that it's gone and proud that it's gone so well. I'm proud of the data that our team has generated, and the support I've received
Yes. So
at medically and.
I was going to ask, thinking about everything that you've learned and that your team has learned about treating this type of cancer, where can it go now? What's next for helping you, but also helping the next lot of people that have this disease, with everything you've learned, kind of what's the next stage of coming up with a treatment regime for everyone else?
The therapy that I'm having is risky, so you know it needs to be done as part of a clinical trial to see whether it works or not. And I know that there's people working on that at the current time. I understand that it takes some time to get that over the line and to be supported by various industry and funding to make something like this happen. But I know there's people working very hard to try and get it off the ground, and this is internationally. So I hope this will happen soon. I think realistically it's probably likely to be the end of the year before it's really off the ground. But I it's not my area of expertise. I don't
Sure.
know exactly
I
where it's
get it.
at.
Yeah. So that's the kind of future for treating other people. What about future for treating you? Because
Well, I guess it depends. I guess if and when my tumor recurs, and with Georgina's guidance, there's a few other things we've got up our sleeve to try and treat me if I need it, if and when I need it. Not things to discuss in detail at present, but there are other ways to try other new things to see if we can make a difference. But also depends on what the tumor looks like and its effect on me, my mental function, and what are the risk benefits of going down a certain path. So we'll have to wait to make those decisions depending on how it's panning out, what it looks like radiologically, and what we see as the side effects. I know we didn't talk about it before, but radiology, you mentioned how do you pick up recurrent tumor. Radiology is best. Number one is MRI scans. We also use PET scans, what's called FDG and a FET PET scan, two different types. But MRI is the number one.
Okay. How you must have had a bunch of scans in the last 8 months. How can you remember even how many?
No, I don't remember how many, but yeah, probably every 2 or 3 months is how often I've been having them, depending on what if I've had any symptoms or other issues that have re required scan. I don't know what the routine is in Australia. Maybe 3 months. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. So, well, I've got to say that the whole story, Richard, is phenomenal. I mean, it just shows real true grit, gut, determination from you, the team around you. Thank you so much for kind of sharing some of the story. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your kind words, Mike. I feel very blessed to be, to be supported by an incredible team of people, particularly Georgina when it comes to the management of my disease, but the whole medical team, and also my wife Katie and family and friends around here who are supporting. I couldn't do it on my own, and but to me it feels like sensible path to go down and see if we can make a difference in the brain cancer field, just like we have in melanoma.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have already, I think, haven't you? I mean, scientifically, the research
But
you.
we'll ultimately yeah we've done that, but ultimately we want to improve outcomes for patients, and too early to know that yet. But yeah, that looks promising.
I think it looks very promising. So, look, once again, Richard, thank you very much indeed for taking a few minutes to talk. I know you came out of a very important meeting talking about the people you're looking after. So, you're being treated. You're looking after people at the same time. It's, so thank you so much for taking the time. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Great to meet you, Mike. See you.
So that chat with Richard was 9 and a bit months after his first seizure in Poland. I have a further update for you, which I saw on a tweet from him a few days ago, and I'll read it in full for you. Fantastic news! Amazingly, my latest MRI brain scan shows no recurrence 10 months since my glioblastoma presented with a seizure in Poland. Median time to recurrence is 6 months. I'm extremely hopeful that the novel neoadjuvant combination immunotherapy I've had and the scientific changes we've demonstrated in my tumour post versus pre-immunotherapy are being translated into clinical benefit. I'd be thrilled and very proud if this novel approach makes a difference for me and future brain cancer patients. Thanks, Professor Long, for devising and facilitating this superb approach, and other members of the multidisciplinary team, including the Melanoma Australia team and other specialists, Dr. Brinda, Helen Wheeler, Michael Back, and many others. Well done to our Melanoma Australia translation research team, including Helen Rissels. Special thanks for the ongoing support of my wife, Katie, three kids, Em, Matt and Lucy, brother Mark, Subby, and many other family and friends. So it appears it's still going well. And so with that, I would say many thanks, Professor Richard Scullier, for being a wonderful guest, and good luck with the future. Thanks again to my guest on this week's show, Professor Richard Scullier, AO. And thank you to you for listening, and have a healthy week until next week.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week until next week.